Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 538, Farewell Beowulf, recorded live on May 12th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Beowulf.
And welcome back to episode 538. We are going to be talking about the Memories of Reach update, which dropped today. Yes, it is out and about, ready for everyone to go and explore the new map stasis, the new game mode infection, and all the new wrecks that we got, including all the noble team armor, the weapon skins for all the teams, and new Phaeton and Brute Plasma Pistol. Lots of stuff to talk about tonight regarding the update. As you may have noticed, we are missing a man tonight. Please keep GT and his wife in your thoughts and prayers, as currently they're dealing with surgery for her right now. So just make sure, just be thoughtful of that, and our best is out to them. Hopefully that they'll get through this, and there won't be any complications with whatever is the end result. So keep them in mind, please, for this weekend. But not to worry, we have Bio back in the hot seat. It's been a couple weeks since you've been on the show.
Yeah, it's been kind of a long few weeks, to be honest. A lot of life's changing stuff at this point, so it's been too long.
Yes, but we're happy to have you back, and especially on such a day as an update of all things, and it being Memories of Reach. That's pretty cool. I know we've been talking a little bit over the past couple of episodes, our Memories of Reach, and I mentioned last week that my favorite game type was speed. And we actually did, since we recorded on Friday last week, I got up to, I think we got 7 people to play speed on Halo Reach. And the frame rate issues, I guess, on the 360 back compat for the Xbox One has been resolved, because when I was playing on my Xbox One, I think everybody that was in the party was playing on the Xbox One except for one person, and I didn't notice any frame rate issues. And that is one of those game modes where it will cause some frame rate issues with how fast you're freaking going.
Oh yeah, like even in a normal game, like I've had it to where the game's almost completely crashed because it couldn't load anymore because things were getting so out of hand. Like things were tumbling, flying, doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right, but it didn't seem to have any of those issues last week. So if they pushed some kind of update out to fix that, I think it worked.
That's good. It's good to see that they it's playable at this
point. Yeah. So we'll probably have a few Reach nights in the mix, and especially since Memories of Reach is back out. But I'm hoping someone makes a pretty close, accurate recreation of speed. I know, or at least I've heard from talking with people, that there is some kind of limitation speed-wise on the Warthog, but it would be nice to actually use the Scout Hogs instead of the Chain Gun Hogs in that. I think it would just be a lot cooler, and I think the game type would benefit from that. So maybe throw in some of the Mongooses in there as well, maybe just to try to see if it works. But anyways, I'm excited for that. I hope that it gets to make some kind of comeback with that. But some of you kind of mentioned stuff. Bio, what's some of your favorite memories from Reach?
Oh, God. I got to say probably my favorite memory was probably... There's so many, man. I can't pick just one.
Well, then list a few.
I think my favorite one was probably when I met Duquesne for the first time on his live stream. And I'm not going back just because I met him. It was actually kind of hilarious. It was Team Epiphany. There was Robovac Hero, Ghostly Koala. There's a bunch of people in there I met for the very first time. And Duquesne got extremely aggravated. He told everyone, don't use Armor Lock, because everyone loves Armor Lock in Halo Reach. And we're going in there. We're doing some custom games, you know, playing. And I remember this is the first time I've ever seen Duquesne get actually angry. He used that gravity hammer and smacked this one dude. He armor locked real quick. It killed me, him, and everyone else on there, and he booted him and banned him from the stream right there and then.
Wow.
The only reason why I remember that was so funny because the game afterwards just couldn't, it died. Like everyone like was going back and forth between switching teams and stuff like that. Like just after that point, everything just went downhill and it was just hilarious. But there's a lot of community game nights there. I think honestly, my favorite moment in Reach was probably when I got into a custom game with you, CryptoDog or Halosaurus at the time, BS Angel, and a whole bunch of other community people from Ready Up Live. And that was the first time I got introduced to the whole community at that point. And that was probably the most fun I ever had in Halo. I'm not denying that. That probably was the best time I played Halo was at that point. A lot of cool stuff happened that night.
Well, it being Reach and Bungie's last one, it definitely garnered a lot of memories for better or for worse, aka Armor Lock. Anyways, that divided the community so much.
Oh, Sprint did too. Sprint was another one that really tore between two people.
I don't think it was nearly as bad as Armor Lock was, though.
Oh, no. Armor Lock was like forbidden in all things.
Okay, I have to point this one out because it's so true. Pins put in the chat, watching how many different ways Cat could kill you by driving.
Yeah. Yeah, Cat needs to get her license revoked.
I think it would be cool if someone made a machinima for someone wearing the Cat armor and trying to go up and like be in some kind of like matchmaking game and try to get people to come on and just have everybody ignore the person in Cat armor. And then have flashbacks to Reach played in the machinima. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah. I lost a lot of time thanks to Kat now that I think about it.
Doesn't know how to drive.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Definitely a distinct memory. I will give it that. Not necessarily the best memory, but a distinct memory nonetheless.
Oh, for sure. But not to go off on another tangent or anything, but I think Reach was honestly that game that kind of made an impression for a lot of people, now that I think about it, because Halo Reach was the very first Halo my little brother picked up, which was interesting because he was between me and him. I was the Halo person. He was the Call of Duty person. Like, that's just how it was. Like, there was always that divide between. But he picked up Reach, and I remember the first thing that he started doing was Firefight, and that's what we used to do all the time, was Firefight.
Reach was basically an homage to the community. They brought in a lot of different stuff to Reach, and they kind of really innovated on some things as well. And I almost feel that even though some people really consider Halo 2 or Halo 3 to be better than Reach, I feel that from a communal sense, from the community standpoint, Halo Reach has been the best Halo game so far.
Well, when you think of, when you people say Halo Reach, community wise is on top of the list. Like, it just, yeah, it just set that mark that no other Halo hit for a lot of different things. Like, that's where Forgers really got their names out there. That's where they got their start. A lot of them, you know, to get their, you know, identified, like, just the Forge exploded. The Forge community exploded in Reach. Like, Halo 3 was, you know, like, there were some really incredible things that were made at that point. But ever, like, Reach is where, like, Vincent Van Gogh stuff was starting to happen. It was just insane.
And look at all the custom stuff that came from Reach.
Yeah, man, the custom games is where it was at that point. Like,
oh yeah, Halo 3 was a good start because of Forge, but
yeah,
Halo Reach really innovated on some stuff. Even though there was the bland gray forging structures, they still led the way on being able to forge so many different things.
Even though it was that bland gray stuff, people still aesthetically put things in there to make it even better because of that reason. Like, that was almost like a challenge, it seemed, to some people, is to make sure that the map wasn't as crappy looking as it was just because of that reason.
Right. But again, I'll say it. Overall, I think Halo Reach really showed what the Halo community was about. Halo 2 introduced the online and the virtual couch. Halo 3 was definitely kind of, in most people's minds, the pinnacle of competitive Halo, and we finished out the series. But it really, just the appreciation and having the community be a part of the game, I think that was really emphasized with Reach. And we're kind of getting that with Halo 5. I think for the most part, 343 has listened to the community a lot. And we're look at all the stuff that's been implemented so far. We've had game modes implemented. We've had Rex come back that people have really been looking forward to. And lots of UI updates. I mean, we have a whole new post-game carnage report now, thanks to community feedback. We have a bunch of UI stuff that's tiny stuff, but it's pretty significant when you think of the overall package. So I think it's kind of getting back to that point, and 343 is kind of realizing how much community input really matters. And on top of that, the ability for the community to interact with each other. Because it still feels like the Halo community is somewhat splintered into separate groups. Where back in the Halo Reach days and kind of in the Halo 3 days, you saw a lot more crossover and a lot more promoting of other channels and groups and all that stuff. And it still feels very disparate in some areas.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. When it comes to Halo 5, the game itself is just bringing in so many things that people are wanting. But as the community as a whole, there seems to be more, like, it's not together. Like, it's starting to get that way finally after the 6 months that the game's been out, 7 months now. Hardly that's it's been that long. But anyway, but it's starting to get to the point to where everyone's really starting to throw in and starting to see other people for things and stuff like that. It seems like it's starting to get back on track with a lot of stuff. But Halo 5 hasn't been exactly the most exploded community thing. I would say we're going back to Reach. I think that lies with Reach. Like, I wish those days were back in today, honestly.
The landscape has changed so much since then.
Yeah. I mean, you got new people that come in, you know, looking at, you know, from a different perspective. You have people, old veterans that have played the game since the day one, you know, that's been with it, you know, thin and thick, just been with it, that people don't know. And it's just, it's a mix up right now of different variations of things.
Right. Anyways, so since we're talking about Memories of Reach, we might as well talk about the update itself. It launched earlier today, and all the recs became available at 3 p.m. Pacific time today. So for everyone that's listening to live or listening to the download of the show, you are open to go get recs. So if you're opening rec packs now, there is a chance that you'll be able to claim the new Memories of Reach recs. And there's actually a Memories of Reach rec pack, and it has been bumped up since the other premium packs, but it is worth 120,000 rec points or $15. And it guarantees three permanent recs from the Memories of Reach rec pack. And then a few other like recs, I think, from the rec itself, but they're not permanent. So if you wanted to get all of the permanent recs, you could buy this if you want. But it's, I don't know, this is one of those times where I think it's actually better to not buy the bundle pack. If you're trying to conserve and trying to unlock everything, then just go with the just unlocking silvers and golds.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's kind of where things lie with me, is that I'm still unlocking silvers to this day. Like, and that's my biggest problem right now, is that I'm still getting the, you know, the older stuff. I'm, the newer stuff, it seems to be going in the later updates, which is kind of annoying, but I don't know. I don't see myself getting this pack, honestly.
I don't either. And there's a few people, well, Eric, who just said in the chat, wouldn't say it's worth it to buy the pack, but it is there for those who are interested in getting it. Again, it's the Memories of Reach rec pack. And everyone actually received, and they actually started doing this from the last update, but with the release of the update, you do get kind of a little promo pack. So you open up, you get a rec pack in your inventory, you open it up, you get three recs from the new available recs, not including any permanent unlocks. So, for example, I got two Phaeton Helioses and a Brute Plasma Rifle. And then you get two boosts along with that. So at least it gives you something to have a taste of what the new recs are.
Personally,
so that's available for everybody. If you haven't gone on to Waypoint or Halo 5 yet, you can go ahead and open those.
the one thing that I'm looking forward to is the weapon skins. Kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but the noble weapon skins, or the steel, was it the steel ones? Or was it the noble ones? I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the Magnum skin, the blue one, if I remember it correctly.
That would be the, I believe that's the noble skin.
I think so. Yeah, that's the one I'm after right now.
Trying to go find the wreck. The fire team blue one is noble.
Yeah, that's the one I'm after right now. That thing looks sick.
Well, I'll have to say, all of the fire team ones look fantastic.
Oh, for sure.
To me personally. I like them all. And the shark tooth grin is also pretty cool. That one's basically from the flamethrower, actually. Yeah,
it was from the flamethrower. But what else?
In Halo 3.
Something else that had... Yeah, well, it was Halo 3, but there wasn't there something else that it was from? If I'm thinking it right. No, that was... Never mind. I'm thinking of researching stuff.
No. I think you might... Because the Champions bundle for Halo Reach, that had a shark skin for the AR.
It did?
Yep.
Okay, then I'm not going nuts. Then something in there.
I know. All right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That was in Reach. That was Reach. No, that's all right. That's not Reach. Yeah. The Champions bundle was in Halo 4. Yeah, that's probably Halo 4. So yeah, it was used in that one and two. But you have Spirit of Fire, you have Noble, you have ODST, you have Osiris, you have Blue Team, the Shark Tooth Grin, and then there's also the Azure, which is for all the loadout weapons, minus the Halo 2 BR.
Halo 2 BR, man. I picked that up a couple days ago. I still love that thing.
There's also Emil's visor emblem that you can get, the little kind of skull looking thing. You can get that as an emblem. We talked about a lot of these last week, but just kind of going over them real quick. George's chain gun, we know a little bit more information about that now. So it has some pretty interesting characteristics. One, it gives you damage resistance. Two, it gives you damage boost. Three, it has explosive rounds. So kind of like how an Oni chain gun has it has those explosive rounds. Four, it has an extended magazine, and there was something else. I think it might have given you a little bit of speed boost. There were five characteristics of it that they mentioned on the stream yesterday. So for those who missed the stream, there was they did the update stream yesterday. So from this recording, that would have been Thursday, May 11th. That's when they showed off everything. So it was pretty cool. And they went over, all the wrecks, just making sure everyone knows what's going on. And let's see, so explosive rounds, higher capacity, damage resistance, speed boost. Yeah, so speed boost was the other one, and damage boost. All pretty crazy stuff to have for a turret. Bobby, do you know how much the cost is on that? I'm gonna guess it's an 8, or Eriky Boo, you might know as well. So there's that wreck in there, and I don't think there's anything else in there to point out specifically. I'm mostly interested in the fire team weapon skins.
Yeah, that's my main concentration right now too. 8. Eriky Boo is 8.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it would have been an 8. So that makes sense. There's also the Brute Plasma Rifle, and interestingly enough, Chief Canuck posted a picture earlier today on Twitter with some other slots for plasma rifles. So we might be getting some new plasma rifles in the future.
Hopefully a blue one.
Hopefully the regular.
Yeah. That was something that we had a discussion about a while ago. It's interesting that they went with the Brute Plasma Rifle rather than the regular one.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the Brute Plasma one would have been something right up the alley of doing more variants on.
Yeah.
But it would almost be a direct replacement to the Suppressor. Or not the Suppressor, the Storm Rifle.
I'm fine with it, though. I like the Plasma Rifle better, honestly.
But yeah, so there's one on here when he took the screenshot. It's called Scale of Soryapt. That's an advanced Brute Plasma Rifle with increased damage, but it can also serve as a very powerful melee weapon as well. So it looks like they have plans for additional plasma rifle variants out there. And looked like he was in just long enough to catch them. And then the other one is Sorrow of Teesh. And has better accuracy and upgraded heat dissipation. So maybe in the next month update. So good eye, Chief Canuck. Major props to you. So, yep, we got all the wrecks. We got the new Phaeton in there as well, which everyone kind of exploded about. That wasn't the Falcon. I do remember them saying a while ago that they were going to introduce a Halo or a UNSC flying vehicle. I guess that may have changed.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's changed. It means that they just didn't add it yet. I mean, that could be something that they add on later on.
I would think this would be the perfect opportunity to bring back a flying UNSC vehicle, though, especially the Falcon, because if you think about the Hornet and the Falcon's probably a little bit more sensical in terms of this kind of a game.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think that they should have, but development side it wasn't ready or something. I have no idea.
Like Forge was?
Yeah. I think they would, especially with Firefight coming in. You know what I mean? Like if they, I mean, it's possible they could bring that in to implement it in Firefight in some way.
That might be interesting, depending on what other Firefight or whatever other Warzone maps they come out with that can be used for Firefight.
It'd make more sense in that way too, though, with me, honestly, because that's more of a big team battle type vehicle. So when you're going against that many, you know, enemies, I would think that would be more. I mean, if they bring back the Falcon, they need to bring back the grenade launcher one too, because that one was a lot of fun to use in the campaign.
with the side turret grenade launcher.
Yeah,
it would have been so cool to have that weapon back.
It would have. It's still a possibility. They're not done yet.
True. Very true. I'm just thinking from the aspects of Memories of Reach. They did a great job with the armor and the weapon skins. That was awesome. I would have, and granted, again, like to your point, Bio, it could have been something just in dev wasn't ready, but something like the grenade launcher, or for some people, they want the target designator, but I think the grenade launcher would have been a more apt replacement or addition to the game instead of the plasma rifle being Reach, because the plasma rifle is more, it wasn't even in Reach. It's iconic to Halo 2, but that's just my two cents.
Everyone likes their own things.
Yeah. Erkiboot, have you gotten the anti-dot emblem yet, and is it animated? Because that is one emblem I think would be animated. That's something else that's been added.
Oh, I thought it was.
So I haven't seen it yet. I'm guessing it is. And I don't remember hearing on the stream yesterday. Granted, I didn't get to watch the whole stream. Okay, he says it is animated. But I didn't get a chance to hear whether or not if it was, but Eric Abuse says it is, so there you go. I have the hiccups for some reason all of a sudden. Alright, so we have all the new wrecks in there. So the Phaeton Helios, we figured out what the new stuff is. So it still has the homing pulse missiles, but now it has a chin-mounted cleansing beam. So basically think of kind of like the Twin Jewels binary rifle, just stick down on the Phaeton and have it more of a focus beam. And that's what you have with the new Phaeton. So it's still pretty beastly.
Sounds like it's a lot of fun, honestly, just from my perspective. Like, anytime I use the Phaeton or whatever, it's fun to use. So
I have two of them to try. So I'll probably try that tonight or tomorrow.
I still got to open up my rec packs. I turned my Xbox on to download the update, and that was it. I haven't actually been Halo yet.
Got it. In addition to the update, we have some matchmaking preference updates, so you now are able to kind of change some of the ways that you match into games. So balanced is the default setting that you have, and you have two additional preferences that you can have. Expanded, which widens the search parameters to find a match quicker instead of having to look for a match that is more network stable or closer to your skill. Or you can change it to focused, which does the opposite effect. So it makes sure that you're finding a match that is optimal in terms of network connectivity and that it searches closer to your skill. And with that, searches might take longer to complete. But they have those preferences in there if you want to go around and mess with those. I will probably still keep mine on balanced, but that does give you the option to customize your experience. So if you're a very competitive player, maybe you want to go more focused. If you're more of a social laid-back player, then maybe you want to go expanded and just hash out games. So there's that option to you. There's a new map in here called Stasis, which is the remix of Torque. And watching the gameplay from the stream yesterday, granted, I haven't had a chance to play this. I literally got home 30 minutes before we hopped on for the stream. The gameplay on this one looks a lot better than Torque.
I didn't personally care for Torque as a map. It just didn't flow very well for me.
It didn't. And one of the things was, because they did have so many moving platforms, I think they tried to design the map around those moving platforms. And with Stasis, they're not moving. They're pretty solid. And I think the movement in the map is more established in Stasis than it is in Torque.
That's a good thing. I haven't really seen anything on it. I've seen a couple of photos and that's it. So I can't really go off of anything. I just know that Torque wasn't exactly the greatest map to play on. It kind of felt like it was all over the place.
Yeah, definitely not one I would consider to be one of the best maps of the game. So that's a new map in there. I'm guessing, has anyone in here played it? Eric Q says he hasn't played it in matchmaking yet. Just judging from what I watched yesterday, though, it looked like it just played better naturally.
That's a good thing to see, then.
I have to check it out this weekend. In case you hadn't caught wind of what we were discussing a little bit earlier, all the Noble Team armors are now available. So Carter's and Noble Sixes was already available in the game under, I believe it was Noble, if I remember that right from last week. And there are four new armor sets in here, which basically fill out the rest of the Noble Team. First one being the Vigilant armor set, which is for June. The Indomitable armor set, which is for George. The Wrath armor set, which is for Emil, and the Intruder armor set, which is for Cat. And I did a little joke on our Twitter saying that if you are wearing the Cat armor, don't be offended if no one rides in your Warthog.
Yeah, you would get immediately ejected out.
I'm telling you, there needs to be a machinima of that happening.
I'm sure there'll be some creative minds out there to do something like that. Just as a little homage to the old ways of things.
Yeah. Tasman is saying Decimator is Noble 6. And I guess Noble would be Carter.
Think so? I don't remember. So I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'm going to trust the stream on this one because I don't know too much. If Receptor was here, he would definitely know because he knows that kind of stuff. Freakishly knows that kind of stuff.
Noble is saying he's Carter, yeah. So I guess Noble is Carter's helmet.
Yep. Okay, cool. Also, the game mode that basically everyone has been waiting for, or at least most people, Infection, is back in Halo. And there's quite a few customization options for this. So they've done a few tweaks. A lot of the stuff that you know from Infection and Halo Reach is back. And I guess Halo 4 for that matter. But you have the ability to have traits and very customizable traits for the infected. And by default, at least for matchmaking, they have increased jump, or basically less gravity on them. They have the ability to use clamber, thrust, and I think that was it. Stabilize. Sorry. Clamber, thrust, and stabilize. They can't sprint. And the humans still have all the normal movement capabilities. And then for the infected, they have this kind of little green aurora on them. And they have a green energy sword, kind of like they're the infected energy sword. And the alpha zombies have partial invisibility to kind of help balance out the kind of the initial rush to take out some of the enemy teams, the humans. And then on the scoreboard, they actually kind of differentiate between alpha zombies and regular zombies from colors. But they also kept in mind making sure people were still able to use their custom armor pieces and colors while they're playing. So humans will show up, and this is just in matchmaking because these options are highly configurable in customs, but you show up as black if you're human, you show up as a lightish green if you're an alpha zombie, and then kind of a darker green if you're a normal zombie. So there's lots of little things that they've added in there to make the zombies pretty evident, and you can change those in terms of colors and effects, and you can completely turn them off. So if you want to do something like speed, for instance, you don't have to have the zombie effects on there. You can literally just have it be just a team changeover, and you can have different weapon sets for teams. You also have traits for last man standing back, but there's also new stuff that they put in there where you could have last squad standing, So if there's a certain number of players, or and it sounded like how they mentioned it on the stream, is that you could have multiple squads within an infection game. So you could do a last squad standing character trait set as well. And then they add a bunch of new forge pieces in there specifically for infection use, including dead bodies, some new effects, and a couple of new decals in there as well, which is pretty cool. And a whole slew of forge stuff. They come out with so much new forge stuff for every update. It's just insane.
Yeah, the forge stuff is beyond impressive at this point. Like they've added and still are adding just incredible amounts of things. Like aesthetically, you know, just I'm still blown away what the forge community is coming up with, and the fact that they keep on adding more stuff to make that even better than what we're seeing already just blows my mind.
Yeah. And there's still more stuff coming out. One other thing to point out for the matchmaking side for infection is this 12 minutes, or not 12 minutes, there's 12 players for the game, and it is 3 4-minute rounds, I believe. I believe so. I'm trying to remember from what I saw on the stream yesterday. I believe it's 3 4-minute rounds. Someone can correct me in the stream if I'm wrong, which I very well might be. So that is back in Halo, so have fun creating your own customs in there. I have a feeling we've already seen custom maps and game modes take off from the last couple of updates. But with Infection finally out there and all the new Forge stuff to play with, I have a feeling that we're going to see an even bigger explosion of Forge content come out.
Oh, I completely agree.
Eric Kibu is saying 4 rounds of 3 minutes. So I got them flipped around.
There's a 3-4-3 in there somewhere.
Oh, hey. There you go. One of the big updates to Forge is now there's material overlays. So if you have walls or boxes or floors or any of that kind of stuff, you have the ability to apply these overlays to it. And there are 6 different overlays. So you have the default kind of matte material that you've seen in a lot of Forge stuff so far. It's kind of just a single color, no texture whatsoever on it. Then there is also Covenant, Forerunner, Concrete, Wood, and Marble. So for anyone who's been trying to actually get a Forerunner map made, a Covenant map made, you might be able to now. All the materials also can be colorized, which is great. And those are the material bases. You also have some overlays that you can apply. One is Grime and one is Forest. So Forgers are probably going to have a lot of fun seeing what textures work, being able to create environments. And I really wish the Machinima scene was a little bit bigger, because it would be cool to really see a lot of people try their hand at making custom environments and stages and all that stuff using all these tools that are out there, because it's the best Forge that we've had for doing Machinima on so far, and there's just not much out there at the moment. I'm interested to see what Red vs. Blue is doing for Season 14, which I believe premieres next week.
Yeah.
I think season 14 premieres next week on the 16th.
If I'm remembering it right, I think it is the 16th.
It's either the 16th or the 18th that it premieres. I believe it's the 16th. It might be like a 16th. Yeah, I think they've done Mondays in the past, right? Pretty sure they have. So yes, Red vs. Blue season 14 premieres next week, and we believe it's on Monday. If not, it'll be on Wednesday. And I would have to guess that there's going to be some Halo 5 stuff in there. They did show a teaser of it this week. I should have put that in the pre-roll, actually. But they did show off a teaser, and they did a little flashback of Simmons and Griff basically in basic training. At least that's kind of the scene that it put off. Did you get a chance to see it?
I seen like a split second of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. Even though it was short as it was, it wasn't anything bad. But I think they're back in basic training, if I remember it right.
So there's going to be flashbacks, I think, is kind of how it seems like it's putting it there. But it looks like we're going to get a mix of old and new content in here, which will be great. But I'm really excited to see what Rooster Teeth would be able to do with Halo 5's Forge.
Mind-bending stuff at this point. Like, with their animation team going full horse on a lot of their projects, I can only imagine.
Right there with you. While we're on the topic of Forge, they've added some new kill ball stuff as well. So they have a smaller version of the kill ball that you can use. There's also, I forget what Bravo called it, but it's basically like a plasma lightning ball. So instead of instantly killing you, it drains, it does damage over time. So if you're like walking through it, it won't exactly kill you, but you'll take shield damage and health damage.
So it's like the energy drain from Halo 3, sounds like.
Yeah, except it does damage also to your health, not just your shields.
Okay.
So that was in there, which was kind of cool. They had lots of decals, and there's also new ammo weapon crates. So there is a UNSC weapon crate, which basically it'll replenish any UNSC weapon, any human weapon. And then there is a Covenant armor crate, which will replenish any energy from Covenant weapons, which is pretty cool. And it makes a differentiation between the two. And you can also color them as well, depending on however you want to forge objects or whatever. But it's for infection, it's kind of cool. So say if you're doing... I know one of the popular infection modes is you basically have this series of rooms that you're going through and trying to fend off waves of zombies as you're progressing. So those would be cool kind of like weapon cache placements. So like once you get to a new room, you're able to replenish ammo for a certain amount of time before you starve dry from ammo. So that kind of stuff is, I think, pretty ingenious to add in there. It'd be really cool if we saw something like Invasion, though. Being like, once you take over a base, then you basically get to use the thing that you took over to replenish your weapons.
I really wish their Invasion came in Halo 5. I'd be so happy.
I almost think that there's a way to do it. I would think with the ability to script as much as there is.
You would think there would be.
I think it has to be there. Correct me if I'm... I mean, Arakiba would probably know, if anybody in here in the chat, maybe Raikou, but I would think with all the scripting stuff that they have in there so far, someone's at least attempted to do it.
I'm not sure.
Maybe that's something I need to ask Uni and see if he knows. Because if Arakiba doesn't know, Uni, and if Uni doesn't know, well, if Uni doesn't know, then this probably hasn't happened.
Yeah, he's usually pretty much on top of everything that's came out so far, so he's probably the person to know.
Yeah. And really, Infection has kind of been his baby as it's evolved. He's been doing a lot of test lobbies to test out Infection maps before they had the game mode, and really kind of helped foster the whole Infection game mode preparation. So he was the one that went on with, I believe it was GameSpot, and did, I think it was GameSpot, and he was one of the folks representing 343 and talking about Infection. I mean, this is like Uni's project. This is like his thing, his baby. And going through, leading up to Halo 5's launch, when he was streaming a lot, he would go and play Infection. Like, that was his thing.
Yeah, Infection's one of those things, though, that it's kind of a home for a lot of different people. Like, if they just want to sit back and relax and chill, that's usually what people usually went to. And not to mention, it was a blast. Like, the amount of the Xbox record that moments that happened within Infection and Halo 5, I can only imagine. Like, there's a lot of funny stuff that happens in Infection, too. Just between glitches or just absolutely ridiculous gameplay in itself. Or it's just, I don't know. Infection's always been that game mode that I've always went to. It was fun. It's nothing less of a blast.
So much so. Oh, and look, Laird's in the chat, and look what he says.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that pretty much, if I remember right, that's a significant amount of the Forge stuff. Mentioned the dead bodies. I guess I didn't go into details on those too much, but there are dead corpses of elites, grunts, jackals, and humans that you can use in your Infection maps. There's a few little barriers and barricades that we've discussed before and that they've shown off. There's some emblems and decals, like for the light things, and actual decals that you can use on walls that have been introduced as well. And well, I mean, once we get down to the Forge list and the actual notes, then we might pick out something else, but that is quite a few changes. But the other big change as well, before we get to like the UI stuff, is the rec system has had a little bit of an overhaul. So for gold and silver packs, the first two slots no longer grant emblems. So you have a higher chance of receiving permanent recs, like weapon certs, skins, armors, and all that kind of stuff. So the chance for that is a little bit greater. And the third slot now has a chance of unlocking the emblem, or it'll give you a single-use rec. So now you have an increased ability with the silvers and the golds to get three recs instead of two. Also, in general, the chance of dropping a rarer or more rare single-use rec has increased for the gold and silver packs. I bet that's helped out Eric Kibu quite a bit, who's unlocked everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to help a lot of people out, though.
Especially for people that haven't made too much progress and are... Well, I mean, you're done with all your bronzes, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I'm done with all my bronzes. I'm working on all my silvers right now.
So that'll be... I mean, you'll be unlocking stuff quicker that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I wish it was... They made those changes a while back when I was hunting for my skin. Would have been a little bit easier.
Yeah, I can understand that. Anyway, so that's kind of the big stuff. On to, let's see, the user interface. So I'm going to be reading some of these verbatim. And also in the content release notes, we did talk about this last week because they had them listed out, but they did make changes to the weapon sandbox. So I'm not going to go over those again, but there are a couple other things that they did as well. For speed boost, remove shields recharging while sprinting while speed boost is active. I guess that was a bug. Never realized that. Performing a Spartan charge against an enemy while speed boost is active no longer kills in one hit. I thought didn't they change that to where if you did have a speed boost in Spartan charge, it was a one hit kill. Now they reverted that. That's what it sounds like.
I guess. I think. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Anyways, slightly increased movement speed while crouching. Raised player model collision damage, making it easier to run over Spartans with vehicles, which I think that's still kind of buggy. Because you could be moving ridiculously slow in the tank and just barely tap somebody and kill them. I think they really need to address the whole splattering thing and rework their algorithm on that.
Yeah, but like you can... The amount of times I could sit there and tell you that I would sit there, I just bumped into a tank and just keel over and die. It's aggravating.
Doesn't make sense. Anyways, let's see. Anything else in the sandbox stuff? Nope, that was all the weapon stuff. So we already covered that earlier. Lots of updates to the campaign. I think we covered a little bit of this last time, but there are some new added notes there. Let me go back up to the UI real quick. So, big thing that's happened that I haven't mentioned yet is the post-game carnage report got a major overhaul. So we've seen screenshots already of them kind of be posted on Twitter, but we got the whole slew of changes to that on the stream yesterday. And we got also a couple of screenshots put out, but it's a lot more indicative of the post-game carnage report as previously seen, like in Halo 3 and Halo Reach. So you'll actually have your list of Spartans, and then if as you're going through the list without having to select anybody, you'll actually see rare and top medals earned by each player. And then you also can go into each player from the post-game carnage report and see their top medals, see the score, see their tool of destruction, the killed most by and killed by most. A lot of the stuff that you remember from Halo 3 and Halo Reach, really, all that post-carnage report stuff is back in Halo 5, which has been a big cry from the Halo community, and it's really nice to see them actually able to implement this in Halo 5. It's a lot. It's making a lot of people happy for sure, that I know.
Sure, man. I mean, it's something that I wish was there day one. I'm happy that it's back now. It's in now, rather than not be there.
Yeah. Again, you can scroll through, like, once you select on a user, you can scroll through all the medals that they've earned. And if you're going for commendations, that actually helps, too, to make sure that you're getting certain medals.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's true.
A few other things have been changed to the user interface. They added the ability to use the left and right triggers to navigate to other players while on the recap screen. new celebration moment for a Spartan rank up in CSR in the Carnage Report. So I guess your Spartan will do a little dance or something. Add the ability to see other Spartan stances in the postgame Carnage Report. Add the ability to rotate the Spartans in the postgame Carnage Report. Added an open packs animation and pack count notification to the help bar if you have available packs to open. And continue the performance optimizations for the Warzone terminal.
Okay. Cool little aesthetic things, it seems, it's in there, which is pretty cool.
The thing with the UI changes, though, is even though they're pretty small and subtle, they've made a significant impact. So just taking the green text, for example, showing your fire team or your party, that made a huge... It's like, it's a tiny change, but it made a huge difference.
Yeah. It's crazy what little things actually make such a huge impact. Like, I heard a lot of people talking about that was a huge thing that they made.
And then being able to see how many packs you have left to open and how many rec points that you have whenever you're waiting for a game, and you can hit Y straight from there to go to your recs. That was, to me, an awesome addition to have. And then having your Spartan company in the game. That was another huge thing.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's also, it's very handy, especially when it comes to like game nights and stuff like that. It's, you can just sit there and go through your list and just pick people out.
Click, 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 click. Hey, it's made. So I wasn't able to make any of the Spartan Company events this week, but the last 4 weeks I've been able to go, and having that in there has made getting people into the lobby so much easier.
Oh, I I bet.
It's so nice. It is. Really, just
rather than going through your entire friends list.
Definitely. The only downside is for your fire team, it doesn't show online for people that you're not friended, and that might be online. So what I usually end up doing is, because it'll stack all the people that you're friended with in the Spartan Company list to the front. So it does friends and online, and then it does friends, and then it does not friends. So I'll invite everyone that's online, and then I'll head over to the part where I'm not friends with those, or I'm not following them. And they'll just invite everyone from the list. And we've had some parties of 8 to 12 show up. So it's been pretty nice. Yeah. So on to some of the other Forge things. We already mentioned some of these earlier. The ammo locker, the UNSC one, and the Covenant one. The smaller kill ball, the plasma ball. There's an invisible kill ball as well. There's also one-way team shield doors, so you can actually put a invisible barrier, or I think a shield door up that will only allow one team through. You can still like shoot or throw grenades for it and probably edit some of those kinds of behaviors, but it's something. So using a fellow podcast on our podcast network, Team Fortress, you have the little spawn areas, but where that only one team can go in and out of. It's basically something like that. I can see that being used a lot in infection games and other custom games.
Yeah, I could see it a lot in custom games being extremely useful.
Oh, yes. Trash bags, trash piles, which they also mentioned in stream, can be colored.
A lot of coloring things this time.
Hey, people like their colors, apparently. They got all in the tizzy whenever we didn't get the colors for the armor. That was another big UI change that was impactful. There's just another example. Game mode decals, griffball, assault, and infection, symbol decals, biohazard, electricity, flammable, gas mask, location decals, hazard decals, trash decals, a whole bunch of decals, fire effects, explosion effects, steam, lens flare, energy, slipstream, insects effects, water effects, bug effects, blah, 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 blocks, blah, blah, blah. And then we're down to the bug fixes, tweaks, and cleanups. Lots of new Forge stuff, lots of changes to weapons, few new UI updates, and of course a whole bunch of recs, new map, and new game mode for this update.
A lot of cool stuff this update.
And Warzone Turbo has made a return to the Warzone playlist, so I will be hammering that out this weekend. I will be grinding myself some Halo 5 and playing some Infection as well.
Yeah, I'll probably get some infection in. I've been waiting for that for a while, so that's probably where I'm going to go to.
This is when the Backwash remake from Halo 2 would be perfect.
Oh, yes.
And if I remember right, we played that on the Operation Supply Drop stream.
I think so.
Might try to do that for tomorrow night for Fraggin' Friday.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. So that's the giant update that is Memories of Reach. Sadly, no grenade launcher and no Falcon, but the rest of the stuff is pretty cool, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Suffice to say. Over the past weekend, we had the LAN Invitational for the North American and European Halo Championship Series Pro League. We had 16 teams that were playing online for the North American, and it got down to 8 being invited out to Burbank, California at ESL Studios. And congratulations to the 4 teams who secured their spot in the Pro League: Team Allegiance, Team Envious, Enigma 6, and Renegades. So now we have 6 teams in the Pro League for the Americas. And then we also have 2 teams who have been placed into the European Pro League: X-Men and Online Warriors. So congratulations to those teams for making it in to the Pro League. There is going to be an open qualifier coming up in a couple of weeks. So this is going to be the chance for your team, if you are looking to try to get into the Pro League. It will be open to any and all teams that are register and want to participate. And I think for the American League, it's going to fill up the top 2 slots. It's going to fill up another 8 slots. So there's a last chance qualifier, which I believe is still reserved for established pro teams. And then there's going to be an online section, which I think for the North Americas fills in an additional 8 slots to where there's 16 teams. I might need to go back and check my details on that. And then I'm not exactly sure what is going on in the European, how many teams that they're trying to get for that one. My guess is that will be fewer teams, maybe 8 or so. Not exactly sure. Yeah, Tasman, I saw that tweet get put out. Apparently Ninja got ninja'd, and Ninja had an overshield. He got ninja'd by Nated on stream, which was, it was pretty sick, I will admit. Okay, so found the schedule. There's a open qualifier that is this weekend, actually. It's open to all competitors, and based on the results of that, the top teams for that will be put into the last chance qualifier, which will be happening next weekend, which will be a multi-stage online tournament. And it says the winners from the open qualifiers 1 and 2 will duke it out against the bottom 12 teams from the invitational qualifier. And then the last chance qualifier will award the last 2 spots in the HCS Pro League. So for the Americas, it'll still be 8. And then it looks like for the European League, it's going to be 6 teams.
Okay. It's going to be interesting to see what those European teams do.
Especially with 6.
Bringing on. Yeah.
Did you hear that Epsilon, the one that made the top 8 in the World Championship Series, split?
I didn't hear about that. That's news.
Yeah, the Buck Twins went one direction, and then Jimbo and Chalky went another direction.
That kind of sucks. I don't understand why teams break up the way they do. I mean, granted, you know, we don't know behind closed door situations, but teams that have extremely good balancing between the team players, like just the flow between them are extremely well, and then they just decide to like leave or break up or whatever the reason is. It's kind of gut punching, and so to speak.
Kind of sucks. I hesitate to use the word immature, but it does seem that sometimes these team changes are a little hasty, and sometimes that people just don't want to deal with drama or work through issues.
The easy way out is just to leave and just not hear about it. I mean, that's how it goes, man. You know, if people don't want to sit there and deal with stuff, then we're not dealing with this. I'm out. Later. Peace out. That's how it goes.
It's unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where Chalky goes. Chalky has some talent behind him.
So, I do remember bringing this up on the podcast last week and saying which teams they went to, but I don't remember off the top of my head. It just sucks because they seem like a really cool group to talk to, and they were really, really happy to be over here. They learned a lot from the U.S. teams and the whole process. And maybe that kind of revealed something about their team structure that needed to change. It's hard to say. I hope at some point the Halo Championship series matures to a point where we do see teams just kind of stick together. Or I don't know, maybe it'll become somewhat like a NFL draft thing where you do have those top players just get drafted to a team or something.
I don't know about that. That could cause a lot of issues too.
I don't know. It really depends on how the Halo Championship series grows. Because if there is major growth, then it could be broken up regionally, and then you have regional playoffs instead of having just pro teams invited back because they perform well.
Yeah. Just because you play well doesn't mean that's the best thing. You know what I mean? We've seen that countless times.
We've seen Evil Geniuses fall to their knees a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the little update that we have on the Halo Championship series. We'll probably do another podcast here to really kind of cover the stuff that's been going on recently, because there actually has been quite a few dynamics happening between team changes and all the tournaments that have been going on. I was fortunate to be at the PAX East Invitational, and I wanted to get an interview with Evil Geniuses since they won that tournament, but I'm still trying to get a hold of Towie to get that done. Hopefully sometime soon. That'd be preferable. Maybe everyone can bug him on Twitter and actually get him to respond to me. Maybe. Maybe that's a secret the whole time. I don't know. The Halo Library Edition Volume 1 is also coming out. Actually, I think it was available yesterday, actually. It includes all of Halo Initiation and then Escalation Volumes 1 or Issues 1 through 12. So half of Escalation. It includes extra tidbits in there, and it's a hefty book. They showed it off on the stream yesterday. That thing is pretty hefty. It's not nearly as big as the Halo Encyclopedia, but it's still a nice chunk of paper.
Good thing to add to collection, I'm assuming.
If you're a Halo collector and like the comics, then it is something that you will want to pick up. It's hardcover, 9x12, and right now it is available for $50. So if that's your thing, then definitely check that out. And I think you can buy it from most major retailers right now. The link from Halo Waypoint goes to tfaw.com. I think it's from another world. That's what it stands for apparently. And they have it as 10% off right now, so you can get it for $45 instead of $50 if you want. There you go. That's all the big stuff out of the Haloverse in terms of official Halo news. We did have a new Skilltacular montage get released last week. Yeah, last week. And that was from Waypoint. So lots of cool clips from there. People do some crazy, insane things that just continually blow my mind. And on that topic, too, there is also some stuff that gets posted on Reddit. Some of the GIFs on there that are insane. I don't know how often you visit Reddit bio, but there is some crazy things that people are able to pull off.
I don't visit Reddit very often, but I can only imagine what they do. I mean, I've seen what people just do, just putting up on their own, you know, YouTube channels, stuff like that. It's mind-blowing. Like, it just, how can you click the buttons that quick to sit there and get in that specific sequence? It's just nuts.
Some people, man, are just crazy and talented and will be way better Halo players than any of us ever will be. So, I think another thing I'm going to do with the stream as well is pull some videos from some YouTubers. So I'm thinking iSpiteful and a couple others that I'll try to get permission from. And then throw up some of these GIF Vs onto the stream. So you're not just watching a scrolling marquee chat and whenever we get notifications on followers and subscribers and all that stuff. Something to make the stream a little bit more entertaining. And I think the GIF Vs will actually be a pretty nice way to do that. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. A pretty short show, but Bio has a little announcement to make. So, Bio, why don't you go ahead?
All right. So, me as a co-host for Podtacular, this is my last night. There's been a lot of stuff that I've been dealing with life-wise, that seemed to be coming first, and dealing with the podcast is something I absolutely love doing. My two, close to 3 years of being with the podcast has been nothing less of an amazing experience. Dust, you know, giving me a reach, you know, reaching his hand out, you know, telling, asking if I would love to be a co-host. Just, it put things in so many perspectives, and I've absolutely had nothing less of a blast doing it. But it is with a really heavy, sad heart that this is going to be my last show. Not to say that I won't be back, maybe on as a guest, or, you know, I'm not completely gone. I'm still around Twitter. I'm still around the Halo community. I'm still going to be around. But as a co-host, I will no longer be on. So, sad to say, but it's how it's going as of right now.
Yeah, it's been 2 years, right? That you've been almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I brought you on after RTX 2014, I believe.
Yep. It's been awesome, man. I've loved every minute of doing this podcast. It's been, the community itself has just been incredible. The discussions we had have been incredible. Like, just the whole experience has been...
incredible?
Awesome. Yeah. It's if anyone's out there to do a podcast, or if anyone's out there to talk about a topic, I highly recommend you do it. It's an experience that is very unique. I mean, you can make YouTube videos, you could, you know, vlogs, different things like that. But talking about a subject like this, or just any game or any subject at all, podcasting's one way to sit there and get your voice out there. And it's an incredible journey. And Dust has been one of those people that I don't know how he works sometimes, because the amount of stuff that he does, you know, editing, event planning, everything, all that stuff is just absolutely nuts. So
believe me, sometimes I don't know either. Sometimes it's just one of those things where I just go and, well, most of the time it's just things get left behind, sadly. But it's sad to see you go. It's been a great 2 years to have you on the show. It's been when I first met you, I think it was through a Duquesne stream, and it was actually back in, I think it was either March or April before that RTX, and then we met up at RTX. I think you were probably with Duquesne at the time, and
yeah,
I remember I approached you about possibly doing the podcast, and then reached out to you pretty soon after RTX was over and brought you on board.
Yeah, man, it was. That RTX was incredible. I want to point that out right there. You introduced me to a lot of people that I never even knew existed. You know, you introduced me to a lot of stuff with Griffball Hub. There was a lot of awesome moments at that RTX too. Just like we were just talking about, like editing, like audio editing, stuff like that. I said how much time you put into each episode, and I was just blown away. But I think the first time I actually met you was through one of the game casts that we did with Duquesne.
Oh, gosh. Those things. Those... Oh, my.
Yeah, and Robo, those were interesting.
Robo on that thing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Robo's a unique character, to say the least. He's kind of vanished from the world. He's kind of doing life, kind of like what I'm doing. But he's a nut. the simple way of doing it, he's just nuts, but good guy. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I met you kind of going into a podcast, if that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't really a podcast, it was more of us playing and talking. At that point, it was very different.
It was like basically a live stream just with commentary.
Yeah, pretty much
with very loose to no structure whatsoever.
No.
Pretty much.
There wasn't any structure at all. Like, it was just flowing water at that point.
It is very interesting to see how Duquesne's channel and his persona has evolved over the past 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time has changed people, and it's gone by very quick. And that's the scariest thing. Like, it seems like almost yesterday RTX 2014 happened. Then, like, that next year, then we had, you know, our podtacular party, you know, the 500th episode, just all of that. It just, time flies, man. I mean, RTX is right around the corner. for this year.
Yes, it is.
Which is nuts.
And I just bought my plane tickets today to E3, and that's literally a month and a day away.
Yeah, things are flying by, man.
They definitely are.
But for the last things, I will say I'm not gone. I'll be on game nights. I'll be fragging Fridays. I may pop up on an episode or two just in the general discussion on things. But as of right now, I feel that it's wise that I step down in the position I'm in and live with life. I kind of need to focus on where things go at this point. But no hard feelings. I just want to make that very clear right now. There's no hard feelings at all with anything. Because rumors like to spread at that point in time. But Dust, it's been nothing but a blast, man. And thank you for the opportunity of putting me on here.
Thank you for filling the spot. It's been awesome to have you on, and you are definitely one of the better co-hosts. I think Brent will always be one that will be impossible to top, but next to him, you did a fantastic job, and I really appreciate the time and effort that you spent. And even with the more difficult recent times of getting you on here, for just coming on whenever you have the chance to, it's been awesome. And I know we'll continue to see you at some of the conventions, and hope to see you back here on the podcast every now and then.
For sure, man.
You're always welcome on, even if we do blame you.
Yeah, the blame is never going away. That's like stuck.
You're stuck with that for your life.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Speaking of which, we did tease a shirt last year. It's a Keep Calm and hashtag Blame Beowulf shirt. If I can get my butt in gear this weekend, I will make a Teespring for that in honor of your departure.
That's awesome. That t-shirt got a lot of talk.
It did.
A lot of people like that shirt. So I loved mine.
It strangely did. We only made 5 back when we originally, when I purchased those shirts. I only made 5 of those. And those 5 will always, I need to figure out where mine is actually.
Mine got plane damage.
Uh-oh.
The sleeve, for whatever reason, ripped when they were, like, what? A lot of my stuff got destroyed. Yeah. My plane ride home from PAX Prime last year wasn't the greatest. A lot of my stuff got destroyed on the plane ride home, so.
What?
Including that shirt. So, I'm probably going to stitch it back up, but.
No, how'd that happen? What? Oh, you should have told me. I would have gotten you another one.
Well, if you put up this thing, I'll grab one. Grab another one.
Fair enough. Well, in honor of you leaving, I'm going to do the stream a huge favor right now, and I'm going to drop a gold rec pack code into the stream chat. That's right, I'm doing it. You can't stop me. Anyways. Yeah, see who grabs it first. Bio, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for 2 great years of co-hosting. And yeah, it's not going to be the same without you. That's for sure.
Means a lot, man. It does. It means a lot to say. And just once again, dude, thanks for the experience. Thanks for everyone, all the listeners too. Like the amount of tweets, the amount of messages I've gotten from you guys, just the amount of support, let it be a conversation, let it be an Xbox message, it meant a lot. Like, and if I didn't get to you or whatever, for whatever reason, don't take hard feelings to it. But I remember a lot of messages from different people, and it hit a spot that I'll never see come again, especially as a co-host. Like, it meant a lot. Like, this whole experience has meant a lot to me. So it's been a journey that will forever be with me, with you, with everyone. It's been a ride, man.
Indeed it has. So that wraps it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for tuning in. This has been episode 538, and you can check us out on podtacular.com, where you can find our past shows and other things. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube as well. And I know I still have not posted the Achieving Halo for Blue Team. I will get to that tomorrow. But that is up. GT is kind of taking a hiatus on that because he has weekends busy for the next few weeks. So we will not be doing another recording session of that for the foreseeable future. probably not until the June timeframe for doing another recording session of that. But if you are interested, make sure you do reach out to him and just say that you're interested, and then he'll be able to pencil you into some session later, or at least make a note that you are interested in helping out with the video. Make sure you check us out also on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We do Spartan Company events, and we still have some slots. I think we're at 87 or 88 members right now in our Spartan Companies. So you have a little room if you want to join up with us. I believe we are still at 13 of 31 kill commendations that we need for our company. I'm pulling that up right now. But we are on the hunt for Achilles, and we have people that are working diligently to try to get some of the commendations that we need. So we would love to have you on board. Right now, I believe our most needed one is still First Strike medals. It is. We have 304 out of 2,250 needed to complete level 3. So that is something to be working towards if you are part of the Spartan Company. And if you are looking for just some people to play with on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, that would be good as well. Tuesdays, we focus on Arena. Wednesdays, we focus on Warzone. And it's a mixed bag with Warzone because everyone plays Warzone on Wednesdays. Just kind of seems to be the thing. And then we also have a game night on Friday, which usually starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then the Spartan Company events usually start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. For Fragging Fridays, we kind of mix and match whatever we do with that. So because Warzone Turbo is back out this week and Infection is there, we'll probably do a mix of both of those along with Customs. So we usually reserve Fragging Fridays for anything that we like to do. We would typically reserve them for Customs if it's usually a pretty dead time in terms of content update or any crazy weekend playlist. But since we have a new update that just dropped, we'll probably heavily focus on Infection and Warzone Turbo and probably some Customs. I should be hosting that one for this week. If not, then I will make an update via Twitter on what's going on there. So make sure you check those out. Great ways for you to get involved. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of the podcast.net. That is podka.st, which includes Crithcast, which is a Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and How to Murder Time, which has been doing some Minecraft episodes as of recently, and then Work in Progress. So make sure you check out those shows. Or actually, it might be Work in Progress instead of Minecraft. I can't remember. Anyways, so make sure you check out those shows and head on over to that website and let them know that we sent you. There's also a new podcast in our midst amongst the Halo crowd. It's a new Britain-based podcast. I believe it's called The Halo Podcast. So we want to welcome them amongst the ranks. I think they're in their 20s of episodes, so they're still pretty new. But I was made aware of them pretty recently through... I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Sims posting on Twitter about someone was asking him about Halo Podcast, and he mentioned us and also this other podcast. So I need to reach out to them and start listening to their shows and see what they're all about. But you can check them out there. And I think that is going to be it. One final salute to you, Bio, for being with us for nearly 2 years. It has been a blast. Thank you for helping me out on the co-hosting responsibilities and duties and being a good friend.
Pleasure's mine, man. It's been a journey, and I'll never forget it.
Neither will I. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you back here next week. Keep on blaming BioWolf.